So this morning I'm with Bill Dodge, CEO Emeritus of Buckley Systems Limited. And how are you doing, Bill?
Very good.
And I'm really interested in your career. I know through our travels together before that you've told me, but if you could help me remember. So I remember a company you worked with, and it did a lot of business with the power industry, and I forget the name of it, but where you worked very early in your career.
That was Doble Engineering.
Doble Engineering, okay. And what kind of products did they make?
Test equipment for the utilities.
Right.
And I think your father was involved.
That's right. My father, I mean, you had the famous Doble, the famous conferences.
Conferences every year for the utilities in Boston. It was always in Boston. I don't know if it still is, but yeah, I worked for them in their engineering department for a few years, and they had a little company that was a supplier of their main products, the transformers.
Okay. Oh, they were used in the test equipment, were they?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I see. Okay, yep.
And a lot of high voltage work. So they bought the company because the owners were retiring, and it was in the next town to us, and they asked me if I would be interested in running the business.
Okay. What year was that, roughly speaking? Like mid-70s, something like that?
Yeah, 74, I think.
Okay.
74, 75. Yeah.
And what was the name of that company you started to run there?
Boston Transformer.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
And how old do you think you were there? So let me think. Let me see. So 74, maybe you're 30 or so. You're pretty young.
I think I was 28.
Okay. Wow. Good for you.
Good opportunity.
Yeah.
And we eventually moved in with the parent company because they had more space. But then, on the other hand, we had to move out because they needed the space. So we talked with the directors, and they asked, well, we had an argument one day with the president, and he said, why don't you take the damn place and get out of here, buy it and get out, and go get your own space. So I did. I formed a company, and we bought it and moved to Cambridge.
Okay.
We moved to Revere.
Okay, Revere. Okay. And then you moved into, now how I know you, it's from, you know, the manufacture of magnets for the accelerator industry. So
right.
Obviously you made a transition from transformers to magnets. And
right.
How did that happen?
One of our main customers, we sold a high voltage transformer for their equipment. It was at the time Varian Associates.
Okay.
And later became part of Applied Materials. But they... We built a high voltage transformer. I think it was a 100 kV transformer. And somewhere along the line, they asked, since we bought wound transformers, could we wind some magnets for them?
Okay.
They were making their own, and they had one other supplier that was supplying them as well. So I said, sure. And we became so busy with the magnets.
And this is for Varian was probably doing ion implanters?
Ion implanters.
For making computer chips. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we pretty much just turned the business into a magnet business lost a lot of our transformer business. It just wasn't
the same strength, really.
Yeah.
The magnets were, especially because the semicon was growing, you know, making ion implanters. So there would have been a huge volume there. And, of course, that would have been a great.
Initially, yes.
Yeah.
It was a whole new industry. I actually had worked at High Voltage Engineering with Jeff Riding and who's the other fellow that started the...
Ken Purser? Or no?
No. Peter Rose.
Peter Rose. Oh, yes. He's very famous. Well, all those three
right.
names are very famous in this
they
industry.
They pretty much started the implanter business.
Yeah.
And they left High Voltage and formed what is now... Varian.
Right, okay.
Applied Materials. And they went on also to develop Excellus.
Right.
And a few others. But so I became friendly with them and knew them and worked for them. And we built the transformers and, like I say, the magnets. Eventually they said that they wanted to get out of the magnet manufacturing business and give it off to one of their suppliers. We happened to be lucky enough to get it.
Okay.
So they sent a couple engineers in to work with us for a few months and gave us all their equipment, their
okay.
materials,
wow.
their mandrels, everything.
Wow.
So it was a great opportunity, and that was the start of our magnet business. And we went through a few downturns. I think it was in the early 90s. It was a downturn in the semiconductor industry. And then in the 2001.
There was another one there. Our company was affected by that too.
Yeah, it was a major downturn. And I was looking to sell the business. And as it turns out, probably only three or four major magnet manufacturers of that caliber magnet.
Right.
In the world. And one was Buckley Systems out of New Zealand. And I had met Mr. Buckley from his trips up to the Boston area.
Okay.
We just got to know each other. And it turns out that he bought the asset. He wanted, they were so far away in New Zealand that he wanted a U.S. operation.
Mm.
So he was thinking about locating a business in the West Coast area. But we got talking and he knew I wanted to sell, so he bought the assets of my business.
Oh, I remember now you told me that before, but I'd forgotten. Okay, interesting. Yeah.
And he asked me to set up a new U.S. operation for Buckley Systems.
Okay.
We called it Buckley Systems International.
Right.
We used the same building that we had used for Boston Transformer.
Right, okay.
And most of it at the time was a sales and marketing operation.
Right, okay.
But we still had a lot of equipment. And we decided we'd send some of it down to New Zealand where they did most of the manufacturing.
Right. But then I think you became kind of a staging, just-in-time kind of company. Like,
yeah.
Equipment
yeah.
came here. But you also had some manufacturing capability. It came back right. a little bit, I think.
We wound some small magnets.
Yeah.
And we kept a lot of the equipment, like the winding machines and the ovens and the process and testing equipment. But then we started building so much stuff, we started hiring employees back to manufacture.
Right, okay.
And it never got too big, maybe, you know, 10 or 15 people max.
Right.
But we...
Although Buckley's has grown to hundreds of people in New Zealand, but your office, your
right.
Buckley Systems International in
right.
Boston area is about maybe 10 to 15 at times,
right.
yeah?
There's 600 employees in New Zealand.
Right.
And so we just... continued to build the magnets as Buckley Systems International, as well as the big magnets that were coming up to Varian. They had a big facility, but not big enough to hold all the materials that they were bringing in, and they wanted to work on a just-in-time basis.
Okay.
So we turned our operation into part manufacturing and part warehousing.
Okay.
And we warehoused almost all of the magnets that came up from New Zealand.
Right. And then because the big customers are just a few miles away
right.
over here on the East
right.
Coast, Boston area. Yeah.
yeah. Probably 25 minutes away.
Right.
And so we worked out a system with them that they would just give us a computerized note every day of what they needed, and they would send their truck in.
Right.
And we would have the magnets ready for them to pick up.
Okay.
So they had next day delivery of you know, big 10,000-pound magnets.
Magnets, yeah. And then what I think, then I remember when we were together, you at first, before me, but then together, we kind of formed up an international sales team for
yeah.
Buckley's. They bought right. half of my firm, D-Pace, in Canada, and then and they wanted to tap into some of the markets that I knew that they didn't, and they helped my firm, D-Pace, get into the semiconductor industry, and particularly you helped because you introduced me
yeah,
to people here in this area, and then that helped our sales. So, but then we were trying to help increase the markets for both companies, and we traveled quite a bit for almost 10 years, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
That I became more of a salesperson. Didn't do any more technical work, no more design work. It was just all marketing, managing, and sales.
Yeah.
And
we traveled all over to conferences, traveled. Customers, many continents. Yeah.
Buckley had never been involved in that. They had a few CEOs before me that did some travel, but it was limited.
And right. So, and they also didn't have the technical knowledge. Like, I mean,
right.
I mean, you certainly knew the magnet industry well, and, you know, and that's largely what Buckley's, I think, was selling internationally, whether it's to national labs or quite big customers. And then I think you know, customers started to come up in Asia,
right.
again, in the ion implanter industry, but, you know, other places. Some cyclotron companies are buying for medical purposes, medical, yeah.
Proton therapy machines.
Yeah.
Carbon therapy.
Oh, yeah, proton therapy and carbon is very big, yeah, that's right.
We're selling the magnets to several different companies for that. And it just, it continued to grow, and I finally stepped down at the end of 2023, and a fellow from New Zealand who was a head of our machine shop.
Right.
He had about 150 people working for him. He was a smart young guy. He had gone to school to get his degree also. So he came up and shadowed me for a year and a half.
Right, that's Tony. Tony, yeah, And then what was your transition to becoming CEO? How did that come about? What happened there of the CEO of Buckley's? Because you were the CEO of the New Zealand company for probably, was it 5 years or maybe seven years?
3.5 years.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then COVID stopped that. But,
right.
Yeah, running the U.S. operation, we had a CEO, I think you remember, fellow.
Yep.
And he resigned on Christmas Eve after their Christmas party.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything was supposedly going fine, but then all of a sudden he handed Bill a letter of resignation. And he said he would stay on for a while, but Bill said no, leave. Mm-hmm. And... So Bill called me Christmas Eve, I think it was, or Christmas Day, right around Christmas, and he asked if I'd come down.
Okay.
Because if I had experience running a business and knew the magnets and everything, he said, can you come down and help us out for a few months until we decide what we're going to do?
Right.
That's yours, then.
Yeah. Oh, your grandson's visiting us. Hi, Wes. Hi, Cindy. How are you doing? Nice to see you.
See, there's already a tractor down here.
Yeah.
See?
So,
before I went down, I had to get a visa because I might have to stay longer than the normal period of time.
Okay, right.
So we knew somebody at the New Zealand Embassy in Washington.
Okay.
And they pulled off a good plan to get me a visa.
Okay.
And a passport for within a week. Usually like 6 weeks or more.
Okay, yeah.
So I went down to New Zealand and stayed for 4 months. I lived down there. Cindy came down for a while. And while I was down there acting as the CEO, Bill Buckley came in one morning, just sat down at my desk and said, hey, why don't you just take over as permanent CEO?
Very cool. Interesting.
Yeah. So I commuted back and forth. For 3.5 years.
So, yeah, just to be clear for the audience, so you're commuting from Boston area down to Auckland, New Zealand.
Right.
And how often were you doing that? Like was it sort of like 2 weeks down and then 4 weeks back? Or what? I can't remember the schedule.
It fluctuated, but we tried to do a plan where I would be in New Zealand for a month and then home for a month.
Okay, it was a month on, month off. Okay, right. Yeah. So, how was the jet lag? Did that? Were you okay with it, or...
Going to New Zealand, it wasn't very bad. I don't know. I guess I could sleep on the plane going down because they were all night flights.
Yeah.
And I would get there in the morning. And excuse me. I had a hotel room. And I'd book in at like 6 in the morning, take a shower, and go right to work.
Mm.
And it just, it happened. It flowed nicely. Coming back, going the other direction, I'd come home and I'd be wiped out for a week or two.
Oh, yeah.
So just getting back on my feet and I'd be ready to go again.
Yeah. I kind of remember, I think the last year before COVID, I undertook, and you would have been on many of these trips, 17 international trips that year. So it was approximately every 3 weeks or so. And again, it really affected my body. And in fact, the COVID downtime where I didn't travel... I recovered quite nicely, and various medical issues that were cropping up went away, and it's like, oh, it's from all that jet lag and sleep, disturbances and so forth. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was doing that for about 3.5 years, and we were traveling as well for conferences.
Yes. Yeah.
So that added a little bit more to it, built up a lot of points, but, I think my last trip home was probably the same time you were there.
Mm-hmm.
We left New Zealand in March of 2020.
Right.
And that's when they shut the border down.
Right. In New Zealand. Right. In New Zealand, you couldn't, yeah, you couldn't cross in.
So
yeah.
I tried to do it from Boston, but it was difficult. And we felt, I think the board agreed, they recommended that I step back and just go back to being the vice president of sales and marketing.
Right.
And so they...
I think the COO stepped up, who was living in New Zealand, right? Right. Aaron?
Fellow was the COO. I had appointed him COO, and we decided it would be best if we made him the CEO. And I would still just take the operations in the U.S. and continue on with the sales and so forth from here.
Yeah.
So it was a fun 3 years, 3.5 year trip.
And I have to say, I enjoyed very much the international travel with you. We were in Asia and Europe and North America. And again, we saw so many things. Many, of course, the conferences where we're interacting with people through booths and whatnot and giving papers and talks, but also going to the customer sites, very interesting, you know, to see all the technologies in different industries, whether it was a big national lab or an ion implanter manufacturer for the semicon industry to make chips, or the medical sector, right? They can many, yeah. Oh, for, as you said, acceleration of proton therapy, carbon therapy for treating cancer, right. Starting to supply components to boron neutron capture therapy, and then even cyclotrons for medical radioisotope production. So all these areas that magnets and eventually vacuum chambers, and I think Buckley's is manufacturing RF chambers and RF resonators, and such now as well, I think.
Yeah, and then we bought Neutron Therapeutics. So I bought a company that was later named Neutron Therapeutics. And
right.
Went into the accelerator business that way, medical accelerator. So that was up here, and I was back and forth with the fellow who ran that.
Yes.
We worked closely together also.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a good time. We did see a lot of customers all over the world. I don't think we went to Africa or South America, but Europe, the U.S., and most of Asia. I think
yeah.
We saw just about every laboratory and
yeah.
company that was building anything that in that area.
Yeah, and this might have been prior to the D-Pace link-up with Buckley's, but I've been to a couple of conferences. I went to South Africa for a conference, and then also... couple of visits into South America, but yeah, other than that, you know, those areas not so much.
Excellent.
Okay, I better let you go, and thank you very much, Bill. I really appreciate it. It's so good to see you again.
Yes, I agree. Very good to meet you again.
Okay, thanks, Bill.